Yeah, I've screamed a lot in the recent past. Friar Phil here with you. Finally, I have a new computer that works just fine, and I'm finally able to do a podcast a little bit late in the season, but better late than never, I guess. We're going to talk about the good old Padres, of course, and what's gone into this slump. I've got my theories and other theories about it. Next week, I'll do another podcast. I'm going to tell you on that particular podcast why I haven't done as many videos this year and why I don't appear on the Ben and Woods show anymore. So look forward to that. Okay, I've got SD21. I always get his Twitter handle wrong. SDFan21. JT on the line with me. You'll recognize his voice from past programs. How you doing, JT?
Doing pretty good, Friar Phil. How are you?
I'm fine. I should tell people we're recording this. Of course, it's not a live program, so it's a recorded podcast. So we're recording this after the game on 9/23/2021. That's Thursday, for those of you that don't know what day it was. So we just won a game from the Giants after having a number of losses in a row. So that's what's happened today. But let's go back, I think, to the time when Fernando got hurt and he went on the IL, and certain decisions were made by AJ Preller, and I think that's one of the nails that got slowly driven into the coffin. What's your impression of what's happened, you know, generally, if you had to generalize it?
Well, I just think that I think a lot of different, you know, things happen in terms of injuries. Yeah, I mean, that's not just the sole thing, but I think together as a team, they haven't played well at all. They started off hot at, you know, 34-19. At that time, they had the best record in the National League, and I think in all of baseball, they were like number one in the rankings. But then, you know, injuries happened. I mean, Tatis in his shoulder. They tried moving him to center field, the right field, to the outfield. But he's a hell of an athlete. That's a given. He's a hell of an athlete, but you know, his natural position is a shortstop. And when you put a guy that has been playing shortstop since he was a little kid, and he's so comfortable there, and you put him out in the outfield, and they expected him to be, you know, they say that they advertised him as now he's an all-star type caliber, you know, he's got the tools to be good in the outfield. Then, you know, there's a lot of different mistakes, I think, throughout the whole entire season that just culminated into what we are seeing today. You know, when you go 34-19 and then now you're what, 75-73 or something, that's not a good
not good.
You're like 20 games out of first place or so,
and nobody yet expected this, but like I said, and you just said, you know, certain decisions were made, and you know, I think the success in April and May was because they played like a team. They were having fun while they were playing. Fun. That's a big factor in a winning team, and in teammates that allow you to have fun. F-U-N, fun. And I think the fun stopped once Tatis got hurt again. And AJ Preller didn't help by getting this Frazier guy. I'm sure he's a real nice guy. He's a good player. You know, he's a welcome asset on the team. But to me, it just gave the middle finger to guys like Profar, who can play a number of different positions, and broke up that dynamic of Hosmer, Cronenworth, Tatis, and Machado. The well-oiled machine that they had going in the beginning of the season got broke up. And this is where we started fiddling with lineups, you know, play here, play there. Well, we're going to put him in the outfield, Tatis in the outfield, so he doesn't get injured. Well, you can get injured your shoulder diving after fucking balls in the fucking outfield. I couldn't understand that. What the fuck? You know, who came up with that? Tingler? AJ Preller? Somebody else? Yeah. Somebody mailed in a comment or something? I mean, what the fuck? He's a short, like you said, he's a shortstop. That's what he's used to doing. That's where he plays the best. And I tell you what, another problem was him being taken away from Manny Machado. They're like brothers, according to Manny Machado, but also as teammates, they also had a well-oiled machine over there on that part of the infield. And it just broke it up. You know, no offense to Cronenworth. He did a really great job filling it at shortstop while Tatis was hurt. But he's a second baseman. We didn't need Frazier, who's a second baseman. We needed, obviously, pitchers, but we'll get to that a little bit later. But what do you think of my theory about that, about the fun being taken out of it and that dynamic being broken?
Well, I think you're right about the Frazier deal. I mean, that's when they acquired Frazier in that trade with Pittsburgh, I thought it was a pretty good trade at first. The only issue I had was, like, where were we going to play him? Because you had Cronenworth already at second base. I mean, you're not going to take Hosmer out considering, you know, he's supposedly the big old gold, four-time Gold Glove All-Star. Mm-hmm. And one of the top salary guys. And then you had, you know, Tatis at short and Machado at third. But then, you know, that was one of the things that you had to question Preller's, acquisition there. I mean, it was great Frazier's a contact guy. He can hit the ball. At the time, he led the National League in hitting. You know, at first, it was pretty good. You know, they did start him in left field that very first game, and they had to take Pham out.
Mm-hmm.
But as time grew along, and, you know, with Tatis's injury, then that's when the shuffling had to occur. Like, well, how are we going to preserve Tatis' shoulder? Are we going to then shuffle so-and-so back and forth? So then, they put Cronenworth at short. They kept Frazier at second. And then they put Tatis out in outfield. So it did, you know, everything rode pretty much on, I guess you can say, a lot of the shuffling rode on the shoulder of Tatis and his health. But next year, I mean, to be honest with you, I would like to see Cronenworth at first. There are times where Hosmer just has brain farts out there.
Yeah.
Especially on defense. I mean, there's that one play, I think I repeated it on Twitter, that Craig Elson put on there. And it was just, fans noticed that he pretty much had a backwards, he couldn't get a grounder from Cronenworth that would have been, if he had went and got in front of the ball, he would have caught it, but he went behind the bag and then hit the runner. So
yeah, that didn't make any sense to me either. What a dumb play.
Yeah, so it's stuff like that. It's just, the whole Frazier acquisition did put a, you know, kind of a confusion in the lineup, and it kind of broke the continuity of what was happening. But it also, you know, you needed a guy that can get on base, and he was one of the top hitters at the time. But I just think that it kind of threw a wrench in what the Padres machine was, and as you were talking about, and having Tatis and Machado on the left side there.
Yeah, it did. And, you know, I liked Tingler last year, and I liked him in April and May, but you know, we all know it's just not Tingler making the decisions. It comes from AJ as well. And between the two of them, you know, I'm pretty fucking disgusted. I'm tired of hearing every time we lose that, well, they battled. They battled hard. You know, we lost like fucking Little League players, but, well, they battled. I don't want to hear they battled. I want to hear you ream their ass up and down in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
Well, I want you to at least tell me that you're going to do that, or we're going to have a serious discussion about certain things, you know, away from the public, in private, in the clubhouse after the game today, once I get back in there, and really have a talk with them and tell them, you know, what the fuck is going on? What is going on? You people have the capability of being a playoff team. You have got the capability of hitting the ball. You have the capability of playing small ball. You have the capability of hitting home runs. What's the problem? You know? I don't hear that from Tingler. I hear, well, they battled.
Yeah.
Battled
it
hard.
Sounds like, a lot of times Tingler, you know, it sounds like excuses. It sounds a lot like, I don't know if former Charger fans would say, he's kind of similar to Mike McCoy. Mike McCoy, after every loss, would say, you know, we battled after, you know, we didn't go through, we didn't accomplish things in our three phases. It was just like the same saying over and over again. I think this team just kind of lost it in terms of, I'm not sure if they, you know, if Tingler may have lost the clubhouse. I believe he did. They just haven't played to their capabilities. I don't know. I mean, they make, you know, they still struggle with runners in scoring position. There's a lot of inconsistencies at the plate. I mean, the approach at the plate, even when they're, you know, they just sometimes starting pitchers against them go just like 5 pitches, 6 pitches, 8 pitches. They just look at it, you know, they look at strike three right down the center pipe. I'm like,
That happened yesterday when the start of the game, we had the Padres come up and the guy pitched 8 pitches. You're not going to, you know, the object of it is to work the count and get a pitch he can hit, number one. Number two, the side kind of object of it is to make the opposing pitcher throw as many pitches as possible to get his pitch count up there to get into the bullpen, especially if it's a club that has a kind of mediocre bullpen. You want to do that and get away from the starters. But I just don't understand it. You know, sometimes I hear, well, they swing at first pitch because that's the best pitch they're going to get. That's the best one that they'll get it in that at bat. And I'm like, fine, you know, if you can square it up and knock it the hell out of here, go for it. But more times than not, they swing through it. They foul it off. It's a strike anyhow. And they end up, you know, swinging two more times at crapola, and boom, you have like a 5-minute inning. You're not going to win games like that. But all this to me started after the All-Star break, really. And I think it affected the team when Preller said, well, our pitching staff is fine, we didn't need any pitchers. And clearly we did, you know. Mm-hmm. Clearly we need starting pitching. Now, especially with everybody going down with injuries, you know, who expected that? But you've got to kind of expect that, because with baseball or any other sport, there's always that chance of injuries and stuff. So you have to kind of anticipate that and have some, like, backups, you know. So our backup was putting that kid, Ryan Weathers, no offense to him, he's done good the last few times he's been out pitching, but he's a 21-year-old kid, and you're asking him to come out there like a veteran pitcher.
And I mean, look at Tingler. He put a lot of work into Ryan Weathers. I mean, they depended on him a lot. Even though when he got shelled, like, 3 or 4 consecutive outings, they said, no, he's you're going to go back out there and continue. It's just, I don't know if that really helped him out or not, because he did get hurt earlier this middle of the season. But I don't know, when you rely on a 21-year-old, and then you got, you know, a bunch of injuries. I mean, even when you had injuries at the beginning of the year with guys like Guerra, Morahone, Castillo, Baez, those guys were, you know, hopefully you rely on from last year, but they were already hurt before the season even started.
Right.
And then you got nagging injuries that just came about from Paddock and Snell and Darvish, and And then guys like Strom and Clev and Palmer.
You know, the list goes on and on, you know.
The list goes on and on, and this is just how the pitchers I'm talking about. Now, injuries is always, like you said, you're exactly right. Injuries are a part of the game. But it just kind of shows the lack of depth in the Padres farm system to not rely on some of the pitch or the arms in the farm system. In the past, you know, we'd be able to, you know, call up a guy and, you know, maybe, and have him come in, maybe pitch, you know, three or four starts here. And then, you know, he would do fairly okay. But it just kind of show you that something was up in the farm system. I mean, they didn't have any trust on Ross Neer. They didn't have any, you know, trust on some other guys. I guess Miguel Diaz, the starter, anything like that. I mean, Chris Matt was pretty much your go-to guy out of the pen when things went awry with the starting pitching. So I don't know. It's just that they didn't have any confidence in anybody in the farm system, and I guess that's why you see the AAA manager resigning, and you saw the farm director getting shoved out by Preller. So
yeah.
We don't know what the situation is in terms of how structural, how sound this organization is.
It was supposed to be one of the best in baseball, but we stayed so focused again, you know, on Gore. Gore this, Gore that. Well, go Gore yourself. You know, he's not that great. He's had problems. He's not pitching wonderful, so let's see who else we have besides him. And get his name out there. Let's give him a chance. I mean, how could it have been any worse than some of the outings Snell had?
Darvish
when he wasn't doing good. You know, bring these guys up, give them a chance. You know, you took a chance with Weathers and it worked out. And if it doesn't work out, if Diaz doesn't work out as a starting pitcher, or one of the other kids that are down there, then just send him back down. Try another one.
They needed that depth in the farm system, and nobody really came up and did. I mean, Ross Neer did okay, but he was wild. That's why they didn't even. I mean, he was pretty good in AAA, but when he came up, he was just all over the place. But it's just that there's so many issues from pitching to hitting to, you know, it just piled up on one or the other, and it just fell apart in the second half.
And I think part of the angst we're feeling now is thanks to the mainstream sports media, because they made such a big deal about the Padres in April and May, along with Tatis, that we really got our hopes up. It looked like we were finally getting a team that was a good team, a team that worked well, a team that played well, a team that could win. And we had that for a little bit until A.J. Preller started fucking with the lineups and getting Frazier's and everything else. We had that until they killed that. And I think with the players, I don't know this for sure because I've never talked to any of the players directly, but I'm sure it had an effect on them. There had to be an effect on these guys when, you know, Frazier's coming in. We got him, you know, but the hell with guys like Profar. You know, they can play second base and fill in and stuff. I mean, that guy has been fantastic this season, Profar. He has really been fantastic, and I'm glad we kept him on the team this year, and I hope he's back again next year. And hopefully getting a better role rather than just, you know, come off the bench guy. Because I really like the way he plays and his approach at the plate.
Yeah, come later the season. Yeah, he really even after his injury a couple weeks ago, they put him in the at leadoff, and he took off then. He's pretty had pretty much a pretty solid year this year. You know, he had a couple blunders out in the outfield, but other than that, he's been pretty consistent player. He's been pretty much the spark plug this season. I mean, it's just ever since the second half, it's just that I would say. After the trade deadline, it just went kaput.
Yeah, it did.
It was just,
Somebody pulled the plug out of our happy balloon.
No kidding.
And it just fizzled right out.
It just fizzled, exactly.
And it was AJ Preller that pulled the pin on that balloon, in my opinion.
I believe you're correct, too. But in a way, also, Preller was in a huge bind. I mean, he already traded a lot of prospects the previous couple years.
Yeah.
And I think they wanted, you know, a lot of these teams, maybe even Washington. I mean, I don't know the inner workings of some of these trades, even the trade for Max Scherzer, but I'm sure they wanted to get Robert Hassel. And the kid, I mean, Robert Hassel has been really good this year. I mean, he tore it up in Lake Elsinore. He's just doing pretty well in Double A right now. But you know, he's a 19-year-old kid that you probably want to hang on to him. And, and even guys like Josh Mears too. But it's Preller was in a bind, in my opinion, that if he were to get rid of those guys, you know, he's looking at who he's got rid of already. I mean, you're looking at. I mean, the thing is with Preller, in my opinion, he's done. He's failed more than he succeeded since 2015. I mean, he wanted to go he wanted to win it, right away from 2015 when he first got here. He got guys like Kemp and Upton and Myers and Shields and all those, all these other guys. And then that fell. So we're kind of in that, like, did we just go backwards from there? Because I know from 2016 to 2017, it was like, okay, Lord, we're building the farm system. 2018, here it comes, we're building the farm system. We're still kind of learning how to win. The farm system's getting stronger. Come 2019, here comes Tatis, here comes Tatis and Machado. And then 2020, we 60 games, we make the playoffs. And then come to a full season, we're where we are right now, through 148 games. Mm-hmm. And it's just that, I mean, honestly, it's just, he's made the decisions to build our farm system, but then he tore it down to try to win now, but yet the coaches that he hires or the managers that he hires, I mean, just look what happened in 2015. He let go of Bud Black. He let go of him to get Pat Murphy to take the helm for the rest of the season. I mean,
Pat Murphy.
I forgot about him. We didn't even know who that guy was. He was just a guy that just, I guess, must be a Preller guy, right? Next year, he hires Andy Green. Who's that guy? Guy from Arizona. I guess he was a third base coach or something. Okay, great. I guess he's a Preller guy. Okay, then we see what, okay, well, guys aren't playing, the talent is kind of, the talent is okay, but then, guys aren't playing very well, and I guess we got rid of Andy Green, and then come 2020, here comes Jay Stengel. Well, who's Jay Stengel? Jay Stengel is a guy from Texas. Well, that makes sense because he worked in Texas where Preller was in Texas. So it's everything. It's like you
giving your friends jobs.
Yeah, I guess pretty much because if you're familiar with certain people, but yet you want to put them in positions to lead a bunch of a bunch of veterans and some young superstars. I mean, you expect them to, I guess, right away within a year or two to get this thing going to the World Series or at least to the playoffs. But for some reason, Preller hasn't hit on any of these. I mean, he hasn't hit on his coaches. He hasn't hit on some of the players. I mean, granted, he got, of course, Tatis. Those are players you want on your team. It's the guys you let go, like guys like Ty France, Franmil Reyes. You see what they're doing in other organizations. Maybe that's because the talent, they were still developing in their talents when they were a Padre.
Uh-huh.
But when you get the right coaching and the right coaching staff, and you see what they can do and they can perform, that's the result you're seeing right now, and it kills me to see all these guys, you know, start developing. How do you explain Eric Lauer, who pretty much shut out the Padres' own, you know, this season, have a success in Milwaukee? I mean, this guy couldn't pitch a lick. I mean, anyway, he could pitch, but he was always getting shelled like every other game or so. But when you put him in Milwaukee, in a much tougher division, a lot of competitive division, and in Milwaukee, which is not an easy place to play, he just like flourished. And then look at Ty France. You got a guy that could have been your first baseman of the future. Maybe you're a catcher. I know they met that last year. They wanted him to see what he looked like in the catching position, but he easily could have been your first baseman, or maybe you're a left fielder. And a guy like, you know, Ty France, and, you know, of course, Franmil Reyes, I mean, who knows if they're going to have a DH next year? We'll see. But it's guys that he gives up on, I mean, and you see him flourish in other teams. I mean, Urias is having a good year. I still would have Cronenworth, but still, you see guys that are productive on other teams. Maybe that's a reflection of the coaches he's hired and the managers that he decided to get.
Yeah, possibly, you think?
Yeah.
I would think. Really, Andy Green was not my favorite manager. Most people that have been listening to me rant and rave, yep, especially on videos from that time period, know that I didn't like it. I would call him a dumb bastard all the time. But the thing about Andy Green is he's a nice man. He's a very nice person. Jace Tingler is a nice man. But sometimes you can't be a nice man if you're a manager. Yeah, they teach that management 101 no matter what you're managing. I don't give a goddamn if you're managing the ballpark or a bunch of workers at Food for Less. You know, it's the same kind of concept. You can't be everybody's friend if you're a manager, because you start, you know, given the impression that you have favorites and ones you don't like, and it's just a mess, so you have to kind of remain neutral as far as management goes, and you have to have a set of balls, too. You have to know when to get tough with your employees and when to be nice, and they're just being too nice, I think, and letting the players tell the management what the hell they're going to do. That's not how it works. You know, you can't go into any other store or any other occupation. You have the employees telling the manager how to manage the team.
Yeah, I mean, it's technically, you know, we as fans don't really know anything what goes behind the clubhouse. I mean, to me, it's all about respect, too. And I think, maybe stuff that Tingler said in the locker room wasn't going well with the other team, maybe with the team itself, with the players.
Possibly.
We don't know. I mean, we don't know if the possible, you know, the rumors of all the trade rumors of trading Hosmer, that they may have created a distrust with the organization, with Preller, and with among the players. So we don't really know.
I want to add that I'm just guessing. I don't have any first-hand knowledge of what happens in there, but just from the impressions I got, that's what I saw.
In my mind's eye,
and you know, it was like after the All-Star break, it was like, is this Andy Green with a Jace Tingler costume on?
I mean, they played. They made a lot of blunders. They continue to play just bad baseball when you need it. I mean, a lot of the problems you saw last year, even if it was only 60 games, I mean, they were magnified this year. I mean, the hitting and runners with scoring position, they leave guys on base. They weren't hitting. They were relying on the home run a lot. The approach at the plate, that was still prevalent, even in the playoffs last year against the Dodgers. I mean, and against St. Louis last year, when they were scuffling. I mean, like, I forgot what statistics I gave you last time about it. They were just, like, well, just really bad with runners in scoring position. You saw that. I don't know if they I don't know. Like you said, it could be Damian Easley's approach or something there that's just not clicking with the players. Yeah. You know, like you said, it's the pitching problems. We got so many injuries. Both, I mean, a lot of the times the starting pitching couldn't even get past five innings. I mean, and
that's ridiculous. If there's one thing that really pissed me off this year was these starting pitchers not being able to go at least six or seven innings. And then I got tired of, I'm going on a tangent here for a minute. I get tired of hearing, well, the bullpen is tired and it's overworked. You know, it's just the last couple of years, broadcasters and people have been putting that into their lexicon. The bullpen is tired, it's overworked. How the fuck do you get tired if within a 24-hour period, you go out and throw the ball for maybe 20 minutes?
Well, yeah.
I want somebody to explain that to me. Of course, they work out and they do stuff during the day as well, so it's not like they're just sedentary waiting around to pitch their inning, but it's 20 minutes worth of throwing a ball. How do you get exhausted or tired or overworked?
I think a lot has to do with, you know, the preparation. I think that most bullpens and bullpen arms don't expect to go out there every night or even go out there past the, you know, they want their starting pitchers to go past the fifth or sixth inning. And a lot of times I think those guys, I mean, this year in particular, I mean, failed to go past four or five innings, so then these guys are like, okay, here I go again, I'm going to go in again. And a lot of times it not just physically, but it's mentally breaking to these guys, I think, to even think like, okay, all right, Snell didn't go past the fourth, I got to go back in there and figure it out, you know, I got to clean things up. And then a lot of times this season that just was irking me a lot was, you know, not only are the pitchers not starting pitchers, I mean, if, like you said, if you were to tell me they got Darvish, Musgrove, and Snell, and then saying, hey, those are our starting three, and then you add in Paddock and whoever as the fourth or fifth, that usually tells you that's a winning starting pit rotation. But when they don't go four or five, when they don't go more than five, or they just get, you know, and then they just taxis everybody else, and I think that everybody was just not into it after that. It just like, okay, here we go again, and then compile that their inability to score with runners in scoring position. They just they fell behind a lot. It just like. Throughout, and that's 162 games. We're not talking 60 games last year. I mean, think about it. Through 53 games, they were the best team in baseball. Through 60 games last year, they were one of the best. So as the season wore on, mentally, physically, I think these guys just kind of like, oh, crap, I think we're in trouble. So, a lot of things just like, oh, gosh, it was just a mess come the second half. It just was a mess.
Yeah. Mess. That's a good way to put it. Just a mess. Absolutely. But that's the best explanation for the bullpen being tired that I've heard from people. And, I won't be that hard on the bullpen if I hear they're tired anymore.
Mentally, it can take, as 162 games, it can take. I mean, just imagine the Bill Chris Matt is pretty much the unsung hero of the bullpen, I think. I mean, there are times where I watched him where he got shelled. But for a guy whose ERA is, I think, under three, the last time I saw, the dude pretty much had a rubber arm this year. He actually could have been a fifth starter if Singler decided to do him as the fifth starter. I think he probably had the ability to do that. Because he pretty much mopped up in innings. And if you look at all the other guys that mopped up innings, I mean, how many times do you see Stammen out there? How many times do you see, Chris Matt and Pierce out there? And it's just like, it's just guys that just, they were just had to be dependent on. And I think, one of the things that, besides injuries that hurt Palm and the bullpen is, Pagan. I mean, Kingler decided to keep that guy every time in the eighth inning. Seventh, eighth inning. I was hoping they would be able to get someone else in those innings. Every time it was just punishment. Pagan was just pretty much punishment. He would walk the guy or get the first two outs and then hit a three-run bomb. I was like, well, how did that unravel? All of a sudden, he got pagonged all over the place. I'm like, how did that happen? So it just, I don't know, it was just a broken record when you put Pagan in there, and it was bad.
A lot of bad managerial decisions, as far as I'm concerned, the second half, and you know, whether it's Ting Ding's problem or fault, or if it has to be like AJ's fault for telling Ting Ding what to do, you know, who knows, but I think, you know, with the pitchers not being able to go four or five innings and stuff, he would pull them out too quickly. Yeah, if it meant losing a couple of games, then fine. But they need to learn how to work through those stressful innings, you know, where they've got the bases almost loaded and just one out. They need to learn how to work through that. If you keep taking them out, you know, oh, poor Chris Paddock, you scratched your knee, let me take you out, you know. And it's just the third inning, you know, unless it's somebody that's a real disaster, not mentioning anybody that pitched this past week. You know, then you get rid of them after the first inning if they don't really got it. But for the most part, these guys pitched well, and they ran into trouble in the fifth inning or the fourth inning. And here comes Tingler out, you know, waving for Stammen to come in to save the day, instead of teaching these pitchers, and a lot of these pitchers we have are young guys, the Musgroves, the Paddocks, the Ryan Weathers, you know, teaching them, like I said, how to get through those tough situations when they're pitching. If you take them out all the time, they're not going to be able to figure out shit, you know?
Yeah, it's a tough call, too. I mean, we'll see whoever's going to be the bullpen coach next year as well. Going to be the same guy. But, I mean, there's always a learning curve when it comes to starting pitching. I mean, how long do you keep him in there, and when do you need to take him out? When is the sign that, a lot of times this year, you know, I mean, like today. I mean, today is a prime example when Tingler put in Hill. And he gave up that three-run bomb that for San Francisco to lead. So it's like that's another example. It's like it's just like, well, do I take, you know, do I bring in the lefty? Do I just let Darvish pitch? Or what am I gonna do? You know, it's crazy situations. But more than, you know, there's been more failure or more bad decisions in terms of trying to get guys out. But it's a responsibility of the bullpen to shut it out. Past bullpens used to do that. This year's bullpen just hasn't been able to get things done.
Especially if innings forgone.
Yeah, the pitching staff as a whole has been unreliable. I mean,
we didn't need any pitchers, did we, AJ? No, we don't need any. Fuck that. I'm going to go get another second baseman.
I mean, he did get Hudson, but you know, Hudson hasn't been. He's been average. I mean,
average at best.
When you get the only guys you really much get is Hudson, Marcinik, and Frazier, and all of them haven't really been. You know, I think, like you said, I think there could have been a distrust in the organ in the clubhouse, where veterans are like, you know what, we need guys. We need pitcher. We know we need pitching. We need some players. You know, we're hearing that we're going to get guys like Gallo. We're hearing we're going to get guys like Scherzer. We're hearing, you know, they're hearing all these players that Preller is interested in, but yet toward the trading deadline, everything fizzled out. And yet, the big news at the end of the trading deadline was Scherzer and Trey Turner going to the Dodgers. So stuff like that, I think, may have affected the clubhouse, where mentally, and I think it messed them up.
Well, not only the clubhouse, the fans too. I mean, yeah. You know, that gave us hope for a better second half, you know, better than the first half we had. Mm-hmm. And just hearing him say, we don't need pitchers, just pissed me off completely. You know, I've got to remind myself from time to time that, because I think all fans need to do this because we tend to be hard on our teams. I got to remind myself from time to time that baseball, and the game of baseball, like any other sport, when you're actually working in it, is a lot more complicated than it is on the surface. I'm seeing things on the surface, but you know, sometimes you got to dig a little bit deeper, understand that, you know, this is happening because of X, Y, and Z. It's a lot more complicated. And so I have to remind myself of that as a fan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, sports in general is complicated because you never know. You just never know when your team is actually going to hit their stride. You never know when there actually is going to be our time to you know, take over the West. We don't know. Everything happens to be unexpected. And, you know, you get the team like the Dodgers and the Giants. I mean, nobody knew the Giants were going to be where they are this
year. Yeah.
That's a prime example. The thing I see, though, is this team is much younger than the Giants are. I mean, if you look, yeah, Tatis is only 22. You got Machado's in his late 20s. It's like, this is a young, you know, Paddock, 25. So you got guys to pieces that are really, really young and still need to mature. But you got the Giants and the Dodgers, who are a bunch of veteran players. A lot of, if you look at the free agency for 2022, a lot of those guys in San Francisco and L.A. are going to be free agents. The guys like Posey, Brandon Bell, Brandon Crawford. Mm-hmm. Those guys are free agents next year. You got Clayton Kershaw, you know, Chris Taylor, guys like that. Those are really impact players and guys who, you know, that are going to be in the free agent market. So it's the Dodgers and the Giants are pretty much veteran players on that team that are pretty much playing, you know, together as a team compared to what we're seeing in San Diego. I mean, if you look at the Nationals, when they won the World Series in 2019, that was one of the oldest teams in baseball.
Yeah.
Other than Juan Soto, you got a bunch of veterans that got together and made a run to the World Series. So it's things like that that you know, just have to come together. We just don't know when the Padres are really. I mean, I'm guilty of thinking this team was heading in the right direction this year. I just felt that. You know, we saw something where we arrived as an organization, but as things, you know, developed this season, we kind of fell backwards. It's very similar to say, I mean, you can compare this to the 1997 San Diego Padres. In 1997, after they won the National League West in 96, they went 76-96. So, that was, you know, or 76 and 86. And it was, you know, they had a bunch of injuries. I mean, Vaughn was hurt. Caminiti was hurt. You know, Gwynn had a great year, but then the pitching went awry. They had to plug in some other, you know, some pitchers here and there. So their pitching wasn't as great. It wasn't as solid. But the following year when they got Kevin Brown, who pretty much, Kevin Tower said, you know, I'm going to trade for Kevin Brown. He's going to be the anchor of our starting rotation. And once he became the anchor of the starting rotation and everybody else got healthy, then you saw a World Series run. So we don't, you know, 2021 and 1997 are very, very much like mirror images. We just have to figure out if we'll see what Tingler stays or not. Or, you know, we'll see if there's a new manager that comes in next year or not. We don't know.
Everybody wants Bochy.
Preller, too. We don't know if Preller is going to stay, but with all the organizational moves that he made today, like all those front office moves, it looks like he's going to stay. In my opinion, he's probably going to stay. And Seidler's going to probably stay. You know, get me a veteran manager to run this thing.
Somebody that knows what they're doing. No offense to Jay Stengler, but you know, somebody that's been a manager before. You know, like I said, people want Bochy, but I'm not so sure he's available. He's retired now, but there are other people out there that played the game that were great players that would be interested in managing the team that he needs to go after, I think, because I think the time with Tingler, you know, is done. We've tested out the waters with Tingler, and it's just not tingling anymore.
Jeez. Yeah, I mean, I think Preller needs to... Preller basically needs to hire somebody that's comfortable with, but also with a veteran leadership and a world, you know, with a possibly World Series experience and playoff experience. Forget the, you know, Pat Murphys, forget the Andy Greens, forget the Tinglers. I think it's time... With this lineup and with this these set of players that we have, I think you need veteran leadership.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That's one of the keys. And like I said at the beginning of the program, fun, F-U-N, needs to be brought back into the mix because these are young kids. You got to remember with Tatis, you know, one of the things he said early on in an interview that has stuck with me is that he goes out every day to play the game like he did when he was a boy. When he goes out on that field, he's not the 22-year-old man, but he's the boy going back out to play the game he loves. And with that attitude and with Manny Machado around him and Cronenworth and maybe even Hosmer, That all gelled into fun, F-U-N, and they, you know, your attitude is better, you do things better. You know, when you're depressed and down, you don't do things quite as good. So, fun, F-U-N, fun. And speaking of fun, we'll get together after the season is all done and we'll do a post-mortem on what happened. I'm not ready to do a post-mortem quite yet. There's still some games left. You know, I don't think we're going anywhere near playoffs, but at least if we can stay, you know, considerably more than 500, I'll be happy.
I definitely. I mean, it's, they can get to that 81 games. That'll be the most games that they've won in since 2010.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap it up because I've got our new kitty, Nikki. It's a girl meowing in the background, if you can hear her. And she's saying, okay, enough of sports. Would you please get your ass over here and feed me? So I'll let you go. Good talking with you again. And like I said, we'll get together for a post-mortem after this hot mess of this second half of the season is done.
Definitely, Fire Phil. Nice talking with you.
Good talking with you, too. And I'm going to leave you with another Ozzy Osbourne tune. This one's called Running Out of Time, which we basically are as Padres fans and as a team. All right, I'll talk to you next time. Take care and keep it lit.